My name is Garland Robinson. Our lesson today is going to be concerning preaching the Word. Recently, we've discussed preaching and some of the points that are connected with it. We have found that preaching is to instruct. That is, people need to learn the Word of God. They need to know what the will of the Lord is. And part of preaching is teaching people, instructing them in the will of the Lord. Another area or item of the purpose of preaching is to exhort. The word exhort means to invite or to beg, to encourage individuals. It may be that we're encouraging them to obey the gospel, to repent of their sins, turn from their wicked way, turn toward God. We're encouraging them to do the will of God that they might be saved. But then also we encourage in the sense of building up, of admonishing, begging, consoling those who are already Christians to continue in the way of the Lord. A third area of preaching, and that's going to be the center of our discussion today, is that preaching is designed to reprove, that is, to convict. The word reprove means to confute or to refute, to admonish, to convict, convince. It involves telling one their fault, to rebuke them, to reprove or to expose the sin in which they're involved, or to bring to light what is correct, what is right. The word also means to reprehend severely, to chide or to call one into account, to chasten or to punish. All of those are words that are defined and used in understanding the meaning of the word reprove. The word reprove is found 17 times in the New Testament in 17 different verses. In the Greek, it's translated reprove in English, to rebuke, to convince, to tell one their fault, to convict them of their sin. I want to mention a number of verses then in which the word is found and show what the will of the Lord is. We find the word used in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 when the Lord's talking about personal transgressions between individuals. The Lord said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Here the word fault is the word reprove or to convict. When there is someone that has sinned against you, you go and tell him his fault. Tell him what's wrong. Tell him wherein he has committed this crime or sin against you. In Luke the 3rd chapter in verse 19, we read, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done." Here's the idea or the point of John the Baptist telling Herod, reproving Herod, convicting him, correcting him, chiding him in regards to his adultery, wherein he had married his brother's wife, who had been divorced from his brother Philip, and married her, and they were living in adultery. John told him his fault, made clear and plain to him that he was living in adultery, and it ended up him losing his head over it because he simply told him that he was wrong. In John the 3rd chapter in verse 20, "For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." There's the word rebuke or reproved. That is, evil is made clear and plain when the light of the truth is set forth. In John chapter 8 in verse 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Here's the example, you remember, of the woman taken in the very act of adultery. There were hypocrites that weren't concerned about the woman. They weren't concerned about her sin or the man with which she was committing adultery. But rather they were concerned in tricking, trapping the Lord, finding somewhat to accuse him. So they bring her this woman. And the Lord simply tells them, you have no right to bring this woman before me. Those of you that are without sin in this matter, let you cast the first stone. And that's when they were convicted in their own conscience. There's the word, convicted. They were convicted by their own conscience. They knew they were guilty in what they were doing, and therefore were not able witnesses or to stand up and say, well, let me initiate this putting to death of the woman. Then later on in John chapter 8, we read in verse 46, which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here the word is convicteth me. The Lord asked, who is it that is able to convict me, reprove me, correct me in regarding some sin that I have committed? Obviously the point was no one could because Jesus was sinless. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 24 we read, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Here the word is convinced. That is, he is convicted or reproved, admonished because of his sin. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here the word is reprove, convict, chide, call to account, punished. And so there's again an example of how we learn from what the Bible says on this word. In Ephesians 5, just two verses later, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. There's the word reprove. Is translated rebuke in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is, when we teach and preach, part of that preaching and teaching is to convict people of their sin, to show them their fault, show them that, yes, indeed, you are guilty. In Titus chapter 1 in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The word to convince is the word reprove. Show him his fault, make clear and plain that he's able to understand wherein he is wrong. In Titus 1 and verse 13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Titus 2 and verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So part of the teaching, the instruction of God, part of the preaching process is to show people their sin. Make clear and plain. This is just not in general. This is not just somewhere in Timbuktu. But here we are, and we are guilty of sin, and to make people aware of that. In James chapter 2 and verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. In Revelation 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So all of these words, rebuked, convinced, reprove, these are telling us the meaning of the word reprove, and that is certainly a part of our preaching. It has its desired result in those who will listen. When we hear the word of God, or whoever it is that hears the word of God, we examine our lives, and if we're guilty, the word of God rebukes us, reproves us, because of our guilt. This is what occurred on the day of Pentecost in Acts the second chapter, When Peter and the other apostles stood up and preached, they used such forceful words, people examined their hearts, their lives, and we read, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. They felt guilty. They had been shown their fault, their shortcoming, their great sin they had committed, and it hit home with them. In Acts, this 24th chapter, we read in verse 24 and 25, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Here Felix was convicted of his sins. He heard of the reasoning of Paul and the great words which he spake, and he felt guilty about that. He learned the truth on that occasion. We read in about Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, how they taught Apollos more correctly. Acts 18:28, "For he mightily convinced the Jews." Here he's talking about Apollos in his teaching and preaching. He convinced them. He more powerfully confuted and showed them their error, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Oh, friend, how we need preachers today who will do more convincing and less compromising. We must convict men of their sins. That's done by the power of the Word of God. In Jude, it only has one chapter, verse 15, we read where Enoch prophesied that there would be those, there should be those who would execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against the Lord. Friend, that's what's involved in teaching and preaching the Word of God, showing what is wrong, making clear that each and every one understands, I have committed this sin. I am guilty. This is not someone else. And when it hits home with us, that knowledge and that conviction in our own heart should move us to repent, turn from our sin, change our mind, our thinking, our attitude about it, and seek to obey God. And if we're an alien sinner, to repent and be baptized of it, or to come back, humble ourselves, to repent and pray that we might be forgiven. That is one of the great elements in gospel preaching, to convict, to reprove, to call to one's mind their own fault that they might repent of it. My name is Garland Robinson.